Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Pleasure to have everybody with us here today. Big day. First of all, we salute all veterans. I have to make sure that we thank them for their service and everything that meant to the freedom that we have. Veterans, thank you on this Veterans Day. Number two, we may mark down November 11th, 2015 as a watershed day for Penn State basketball. We'll find out how it plays out in reality and to fruition. But Penn State right now has the sixth-ranked recruiting class in the country, and all four players have signed. Tony Carr, Lamar Stevens, Nazir Bostic, and Joe Hampton have all signed and faxed their letters of intent to Penn State and are officially in the fold. Three of them are ESPN top 100 recruits. Tony Carr is 50. Joe Hampton is 98. Lamar Stevens is 100. And Nazir Bostic is a three-star guy that a lot of people think Horace is a pretty good basketball player. This is a little different class than what I can recall in this regard. It's also a class in which I have seen all four players myself play. But it is, to me, the big story of the day that it's come to fruition. It's not as if we didn't know this was going to happen, because we did know it was going to happen. They're going to have, in fact, an event tonight surrounding it. I'm sure they'll get some idiot to MC it. But that is topic number one. Now, the rest of the Kevin Herr memo, which brings it with it the usual twists and turns that only Kevin can bring. First of all, Jeff Long said that Stanford's loss to Northwestern didn't hurt Stanford in the rankings because the committee considered the start time on the road, which was 9 a.m. Pacific time. Should that be considered when ranking teams, especially a team, Ohio State, that's undefeated and ranked below them? You mean Oklahoma State? You put OSU.
Yeah, it could have been either one. You're right.
First of all, when it comes to the rankings, today is thoroughly and completely irrelevant.
Yes.
And here's the reason why. Not to put down your question. Your question's a good question. It has nothing to do with that, Kevin. Here's the reason why it's irrelevant. The committee proved to us last year that everything is irrelevant till the last day. Does it matter? Because it used to be that in the old AP UPI polls, pole position meant something. You know, suddenly you're 12th, and then all of a sudden you move up to 8th, and then suddenly you move up to 6th, and then suddenly you move up to 2, and now you're right there, and you play for the title. Or in the old days, you move up to within the top 4, and you're playing in one of the major bowl games, or the top 6 or 8, you're in one of the major bowl games on New Year's Day. Okay. Pole position meant something. They proved last year pole position means zero. TCU was third last year in the next to last poll and won in a blowout and fell to fifth. Fifth or sixth? I think it was fifth, wasn't it? But they fell out of it by winning big while being ranked third in the college football playoff poll. Ohio State was never once ranked in the college football playoff poll among the top four until the day they made the selection. So Iowa right now is, what, fifth? Stanford's there. Stanford will get its opportunity. They play Notre Dame. That's going to bring with it some cachet. Also, Stanford has not lost since. Now, a loss somewhere in here, Kevin, it does damage Stanford. But I can understand what they're saying about the Northwestern thing. First of all, it's the beginning of the season. Just like Ohio State's loss last year to Virginia Tech was in the second game of the season. It did not hurt them in the end, losing the second game of the season at home. Northwestern played on the road. But playing at home to Virginia Tech and really being taken and handled by Virginia Tech at home in week two never hurt Ohio State. They ended up being the number four seed in this thing, which it doesn't matter what seed you are. Just get in and you're in. But they showed us last year that the last poll is the only one. That's the, I mean, right now it's a great conversation piece, but these four schools right now are irrelevant. You know, just because Notre Dame, you know, maybe Notre Dame goes out and wins big over Wake Forest this week. Yeah. Somebody else may do something. I mean, Oklahoma is playing Baylor. What if Baylor plays a great game, blows out Oklahoma? Notre Dame may fall to fifth. You don't know. That's why right now it doesn't really matter. It does matter that Stanford has one loss. They cannot. I will say this about Northwestern, Kevin. What that game means is that Stanford can't afford the second loss.
Well, let me ask you this. If that game happens, say, middle of the season, if that happens in the middle of the season, do they still consider the fact that, well, you know, they were playing at 9 a.m. Pacific time? Is it more of the fact that it's the beginning of the season, or is it more of the fact that it's in a different time zone?
I think everything is the way it always used to be. The later in the season a loss happens, the more impact it has, because now you're sitting there saying, okay, wait a minute, because other people are doing other things. They're winning.
See,
and you can't afford any losses. I mean, there was no team that lost late last year that got in, correct?
I don't believe so, no.
No, but, right. My argument on the Big 12 is quite simple. Is that because they do not have a conference championship game, they do actually have to do more than other schools do for this reason. You cannot look at the other conferences where they have to finish things out with a 13th game while you only have to play 10 or play 12. That's the difference to me.
But see, if you're going to give Stanford the benefit of the doubt for losing a game because it's early in the season, okay, I'm fine with that. But if you're going to give Stanford the benefit of the doubt because they lost a game that's early in the season that they had to go east to play at 9 a.m., it was, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was the first game of the season. You had 8 months to prepare to play at 9 a.m.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter, though, Kevin. Last year, Ohio State got in with one loss. And it was in the second week of the season. They had a chance to rebuild their resume and go to Michigan State and get that big blowout win. Take Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. Get a blowout win where you looked around and said, you know what? They're playing great football. They're one of the four best teams. That's where they didn't stumble the rest of the way. They won the double overtime game here. Early in the season means something, but when you lose early in the season, you have enough time to rebuild your resume.
I think the most important thing you said, though, in this whole thing, sorry to cut you off there, but I think the most important thing you said in this whole thing is this poll right now means absolutely nothing. Mm. It's fun to talk about. It's a made-for-ESPN event, but that's all it is.
Right, and that's all. That's all it is, and last year when TCU was, what, third? One big, couldn't have done anything else, couldn't have done more. They fell out of it. And Ohio State moved up. That tells me that it means nothing. You just have to keep winning and just let the chips fall where they may. You just have to. And I don't think there's really anything, you know, Stanford still has, they got a tough one this weekend, right? Stanford's got, they have Oregon this weekend.
Let me see
But they've got Oregon, I think, this weekend. And then they still have Notre Dame down the stretch.
Oregon, Cal, at Notre Dame.
Yeah. And they've got plenty in the tank down the stretch to show everybody that
whether they should be in this thing or not.
You know who's got a better shot than Oklahoma State? All records the same. Right now, Iowa.
Well, Iowa, again, is in a great spot because the schedule down the stretch is favorable, and there's now, obviously, the door is wide, wide open to them playing Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. That's the part of it that is really big.
And Oklahoma State has, I mean, they have two big, important games.
Baylor and Oklahoma.
Right. That Baylor and Oklahoma, winning both of those games, I think, gives them a shot. Losing either one, game over.
Oh, no, they lose either. I mean, anyone, if Oklahoma loses again, they're done. If Oklahoma State loses, they're done. If Baylor loses, they're done.
Well, and we're going to see how good Baylor is in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, we will. I mean, it's still to play TCU, too.
I mean, they've played SMU, Lamar, Rice, Texas Tech, KU, West Virginia, Iowa State, Kansas State. Now they actually get into the schedule that actually is going to challenge them in Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and TCU.
They have no championship game. That doesn't help them. Again, you can't, to me, that is a major problem for the Big 12, not having the title game. If I'm sitting in the room and I'm talking to other people in the room, I'm saying, okay, I want to consider everything we're doing, but why do these four teams here have to play 13 games and they get to play 12? Where's that extra hurdle they need to clear? Not as if we've never seen an upset in that game before. Because we've seen the winner of that game not be the group we expected. So, take a break. This is the Kevin Hur Clam Bake on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Back in the neighborhood, only friends and family got these kinds of deals.
Now you can get the inside deals too from Sunbury Motors Ford with friends and neighbors pricing for everyone. SMC will give you the same price Ford employees give their friends and neighbors, which is exclusive, no-hassle pricing. Pick from over 450 new Fords with savings up to $11,120. All vehicles will be clearly marked on the lot, or just go to sunburymotors.com. Pick out your vehicle, see the friends and neighbors price, and bring it in. Everyone is eligible and all rebates apply. Choose from the area's largest selection of F-150s with over 125 available. Pick from over 75 of the top-selling 2016 Ford Escapes with the lowest prices ever offered to the general public. This special friends and neighbors pricing is for a limited time only, so hurry in for the best selection.
We'll make you an offer you cannot refuse.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving all of Central Pennsylvania for over a century.
Big day for Penn State basketball. The Nittany Lions have, at the moment, the sixth-ranked recruiting class by ESPN.com. Now, there'll be late signees along the way that will change this. It doesn't matter. It's still going to be one of the top-ranked recruiting classes in the country. Right now, Penn State's number two in the Big Ten, and it has a positional balance to it. Tony Carr is the 50th-ranked player in the country, according to ESPN.com. He's a point guard, smooth as silk. Joe Hampton, forward, is the 98th-ranked player by ESPN.com. And forward, athletic, Lamar Stevens is number 100. And Nazir Bostic is a three-star recruit that is nicknamed Horse and is a guy that has great skills and plays very, very hard. These four guys have signed. They are not done yet. Penn State has had some excellent recruits over the years come in here, contrary to popular belief. You know, Dan Earle, for example, is bringing his team, VMI, in for his first ever game as the head coach at VMI on Saturday. Dan Earle was third team All-USA today his senior year in high school. Well, I don't mean third team, oh, wait, they've got 40 guys on third team. When I mean third team, there's three teams of five guys each. That's 15. He was third team all USA today. Pete Lisicki was a top 75 recruit. You know, Taylor Battle, highly sought after. Jeff Brooks was a top 75 recruit. So it's not as if Penn State hasn't had some of these guys in the program. The difference this time is it's a collective group. It's collective. That's the difference. And that is something where when you're talking about three top 100 guys and another guy that a lot of people want, if they had to put a list together, the four guys they absolutely wanted to get are the four guys they signed. What does that tell you? Now, how will it play out and pan out? Number one, don't expect, hey, voila, there they go. It's going to take a little while, like anything. It's a little more patience, and I think the road to prosperity is being paved as we speak. And now it gets to be the door is open to a lot of fun in that the Jordan Center with Penn State basketball. Chad Markulix from Black Shoe Diaries is going to join us, along with Greg Pickle today from PennLive.com. Kevin has more questions. Let's see, what other questions did Kevin have here? They were really, really good. I was like really, you know, the rundown was so exciting today when I looked at it. I thought, wow, this is great. Here's one. No FanDuel or DraftKings in New York. This is a good one. And let's see, World Series of Poker, is that a sport? No. But it's also easy, cheap programming, Kev.
I was captivated last night because there was nothing on.
No, but it's easy, cheap programming.
Sure.
You need, what, two cameras, one table, confined area, easy. It's not a difficult production. So you put it on, people like it. Okay, it's part of the E and ESPN for entertainment. It's not a sport.
No, I didn't think so either. But as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, you know, we had all these ESPN viewers complaining about watching two guys or watching several college students or whatever play a video game. How is this different?
It's not. But I don't watch the World Series of Poker because I don't care, and I don't watch the video game thing because, again, I don't care. It doesn't fit who I am.
No, and I understand.
I'm not going to watch either one. But it's cheap, easy programming, just like esports are cheap, easy programming. They have spent so much money on contractual rights that in order to fill 24 hours on several platforms, they need some cheap, easy programming. World Series of Poker, billiards, esports are all cheap, easy programs to put on that fill time and some people like to watch.
And what did he win, like $7 million last night?
Once again, repeating, did not watch.
But as I'm watching this, I'm thinking of all those people that complained about watching esports and watching the video game, and I thought, how's this different?
And Kevin says that American Pharoah could be the sportsman of the year. He's disgusted.
It's a horse. I thought you had to do something other than athletics to be sportsman of the year. I thought you had to do something sportsman-esque.
Who was last year's sportsman of the year?
I don't know.
My point, bottom of the hour. Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 at 15 in Hummel's Wharf. News is next.
It's a horse, for goodness sake.
You made advancements. You weren't guessing.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for This Day in Sports History. On this day in sports history, the first ever game at Madison Square Garden in 1946. The Knicks lost to Chicago 78-68. 1981, Fernando Valenzuela of the Dodgers became the first pitcher to win the Rookie of the Year and the Cy Young Award in the same season. In 1984, the Houston Oilers ended their 23-game road losing streak when they beat Kansas City at Arrowhead 17-16. In 1990, Derek Thomas of the Chiefs set an NFL record when they had seven sacks in a game. He did have seven sacks in a game against the Seahawks and Jim Zorn, who after the game was able to count exactly how many clouds there were in the sky. In 2002, Barry Bonds became the first Major League Baseball player to win the league's Most Valuable Player title five times. Time now to talk about Bucknell Wrestling. Dan Wernsberger, the head coach of Bucknell, joins us. Dan, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man. How you guys doing?
Doing very well today. Dan, a lot's going to be built by what you have coming back. Who are the leaders in that wrestling room for you right now that I think can be difference makers for you?
I think we got a handful of guys. You know, we have a strong squad coming back, experienced group of guys. You know, 9 out of our 10 starters from last year are back. You know, we have our 25-pounder. We got the bookends, really. Those are our strongest guys. Paul Petroff, 25-pounder, senior for us. And then Joe Stolfi, our heavyweight senior. Those guys are our strong guys that have been pretty consistent throughout their careers here. And we expect a lot from them, just not on the mat, but off the mat through their leadership, et cetera. So those are our two main components, those bookends.
Yeah, and in fact, you've got things rolling right away, and you've got Franklin and Marshall coming up, and sure. You've got the Virginia Duels, the Cliff Keen Invitational, and you got a big one in January. We've got Oklahoma coming in.
Yeah.
What does that schedule do to build you as the season goes in the building process of a season?
Sure. I think it's Division I wrestling is a long season, so you want to use some of these big matches and tournaments, just kind of a measuring stick, just to see where you're at and what you kind of need to do to develop throughout the course of the season, throughout the course of the year, you know, from an individual standpoint and then from a team standpoint. We just, you know, actually wrestled the number 7 team in the country this past Friday, right, on November 6th. We wrestled Lehigh and lost a pretty hard-fought match to those guys. But it was great because we got to see some of our individuals in front of a good crowd, you know, with the lights on and against a really, really a tough opponent and some good individuals, and our guys battled extremely well. So just putting themselves in these situations, it just allows us to evaluate, use it as a gauge and as a measuring stick, and what do we need to do and where do we need to improve. And it gives us a sense of confidence, too, when you're wrestling some of these better programs and these elite schools and some of these elite individuals, and you go out there and compete well against them. It gives you a confidence individually as far as, hey, I can do this, I can do it at the high level. It's just a matter of putting it together at the right time of year, which our focus and emphasis, like everyone else in the country, is, you know, in March, that first week in particular, the third week in March. So it's always good to have a good balance to your schedule, especially early on and through the middle of your season, just to see where you're at and what you need to do.
Most of the time, there are going to be a couple spots where you're going to expect to get some points out of during a course of a dual meet. You just talked about your two bookends. It's not going to be perfect, but most nights you'll expect to get that. Where's a couple spots in this lineup, Dan, where, based on what you've seen so far in the wrestling room, might surprise a couple people about the points they're producing for you?
Sure. Well, I think right out of the chute, our first four weight classes, you know, right now are probably our strongest weights. You know, I mean, we got four experienced, extremely talented, solid guys, you know, 25, 33, 41, and 149. And, you know, three out of the four had some pretty big wins last Friday night. You know, Grimaldi Gonzalez, our 133-pounder, he's a junior. And, you know, he beat Mason Beckman from Lehigh, you know, just scoring three takedowns on him, won a 7-6 match. And Mason Beckman started the year number 4 ranked in the country at the time. He was number 7 last Friday when we beat him. Victor Lopez at 149 beat a guy, Lake Gardner, who's ranked ahead of him. And those guys, you just know what you're getting from those guys pretty much night in, night out as far as competition goes. And I think the reason why you know you're going to have that consistency with them is based on how they prepare. The preparation process remains very consistent throughout the week with how these guys get themselves ready for the weekend competition, whether it's a Friday, Saturday or Sunday duel, or whether it's a tournament. So it's just good for those guys to lead that way, and the young guys should be able to pick up on that and understand how important it is. You can't take a day off no matter how you're feeling. You got to find a way to get the most out of that particular workout. So I'd say those guys, you know, we got another guy at 141, Tyler Smith, extremely talented. He was an NCAA qualifier for us a year ago as a true freshman. He's a star in the making. Our 184-pounder Tom Slay, another star in the making, that's just been out these first couple weeks of our season with an illness, but he'll be making his way back soon. So I think those first four weights, you got some guys in the middle that are starting to show themselves, and then obviously Stolfi up top.
Yeah, no question about that. And then you look at the tone that is set in that wrestling room. What kind of pure competition and depth do you have in the wrestling room that can make everybody better?
Well, I think that's the name of the game. That's what it's all about. And this is our 10th year of, you know, since the reinstatement of varsity competition, right? So it's been a challenge, and it's been one of our themes is just building our roster and building up that depth. And that's why I've always say the most important thing for a program like ours here at Bucknell is staying healthy, right? We get a guy, one or two guys that go down. In the past, we just haven't had been able to fill that with the right guy or the right individual. This year, we have our largest roster since the reinstatement of our program. We have 29 guys in our roster. The depth is, you know, we're at least two deep at every weight. It's much more competitive at each weight class, you know, day in, day out in the practice room, which, you know, these guys are battling. I mean, they're battling each other, they're fighting each other, and that's making each other better, just knowing that, hey, I gotta do a little bit extra to stay on top here. You know, it's not just about, oh, I'm the guy in the lineup, I'm going out competing. You know, you gotta do everything you can in the practice room to make sure you stay in that position and that you're improving. You can't afford to stay the same because you've got a guy right behind you that's looking to pass you up. So that's been a big part of just the last couple years where we've had team success, right? And I think that's kind of our motto and emphasis this season. I think year three, four, and five in our reinstatement, we had some really, really good individuals, and we had individual success, you know. And I think in years 8 and 9, we started having some more team success, in particular last year. And now just kind of what our focus and emphasis is this year, and our goal is to combine the both. We're at the end of the year, yeah, we're not just having individual or team success, but we're having both, you know, where we're bringing a trophy home from EIWAs like we did last year. We're getting ourselves in the top 20, top 25 at the NCAA tournament and bringing home, you know, hopefully our first national champ and multiple All-Americans. So having that competitive edge and that drive in the practice room is going to be important if we're going to reach those goals.
Dan, in this process of coming back with the program reinstatement 10 years ago, how important was the element of patience across the board, not only by yourself but within the university? How much, though, did it test your patience? Because I'm sure you wanted it to go quicker than it did.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a teachable moment for me, I can tell you that. You know, when I signed up to build this program from scratch, at the time I was like, yeah, no problem, let's get it going. And then as I'm going through the process, you know, one of my lesser strengths is my lack of patience. So I was tested. I was definitely tested those first couple years, and I always want things to happen like overnight, right away. So, you know, I think God put me in that situation for a reason, and it was a teachable moment for me. It was a growth moment for me as far as maturing into a better coach. There's no question about it. I'm a different coach now than I was, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago or even prior to that. But you have to have patience. I mean, that was part of it. And, you know, kudos to our administration. I mean, there was a plan in place. It wasn't like, hey, wrestling's back at Bucknell, good luck, go get them. You know, I mean, Bill Graham, our benefactor, obviously was the resource behind it. And then, you know, our AD, John Hart, there was a plan in place, a 3-year plan as far as how we wanted to attack this out of the chute the right way. So, you know, we can reap the rewards and benefits 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and way beyond, you know, once I'm done coaching and have this program in a pretty stable place. So with that being said, just having that vision, and part of that vision was, hey, we have to be patient, knowing that through a reinstatement and a building process, building something from scratch, man, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be highs, there's going to be lows, there's going to be ups and downs. You know, you're going to plateau at some point, and then once we hit that plateau, then it was a matter of, which we did in, like, I don't know, year 5, 6, we kind of hit that plateau, and that's where, all right, we sat down and we reevaluated again along with the administration, myself, coaching staff, benefactor. What do we want to do? Where do we want to go next? How do we want to get there, right? And that's where the whole vision and the idea came with the Graham Wrestling Building that is currently under construction right now. The roof's on it, the beams are up, the walls are up, and that's the next step for us, you know, that we're going to be moving into next year after 10 years of our varsity program being back. Is we're going to be moving into a state-of-the-art, if one of the nicest ones, not just on the East Coast, but in the entire country. It's going to be 18,000 square foot of wrestling space, lounge, locker room, offices, training room, fitness, weights, the whole deal. So, patience was critical. It was tough and challenging at times, but at the end of the day, it made me a better coach, a better person, and it's the best thing for the program.
Now, here's the next part. Here's the addendum to that. Because it was a process to get there, and you've established something, did that process now allow you to have long-term success instead of just having a flash in the pan?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the idea behind it, is we want to make this place as stable as possible, right? And with stability comes consistency, and that's the whole point to doing this, is becoming more consistent. Because at the start of it, you know, when we're facing some of those tough moments or challenges or plateaus, I mean, that was a big part of it, is there was some inconsistency, right? And that's where it taught all of us, you know, when you're bringing something back from scratch, something brand new, building it up, reinstating it, you know, the whole theme has to be, how do we attack this and make it something solid and consistent? And that's kind of how we've approached it, just through every facet of the program at this point, you know, from staff. I mean, that was a big part of, you know, staff, which I feel like we're at this point, you know, along with facility and what type of student athlete that we're recruiting, making sure that we're just not identifying, you know, a really smart kid, or we're not identifying just a really great wrestler, but we're identifying who's the right fit for this university, this campus, the size of the campus, you know, our wrestling program in particular, this community of Lewisburg. So, and that's what's going to make this place consistent. It's going to make the program thrive. It's going to provide stability for decades and decades to come beyond my time here.
With that, when you do something long-term, part of it is establishing a culture where the wrestler, the student athlete, is exactly on the same page with the program and the head coach, which sure. Then reaps benefits in recruiting. How pleased are you with the culture that's been established, and are your wrestlers your best recruiters?
I think yes and yes. I mean, I'm super pleased with the culture and where we're at. I mean, there's a reason why we've had success as a team, right? Early on, we had a lot of individual success, 3, 4, and 5, and you're just kind of feeling it out and getting the program up and running. People are still uncertain, not sure. You get in years to 8 and 9, culture is the main ingredient that makes this organization run. And our culture has been fantastic. I just, you know, had a meeting with my 6 seniors that were in here about 15 minutes ago, and those guys are the reason why our culture is as good as it is right now, just from where they've been. They came here as freshmen when the culture might have been, you know, a little questionable, and then they just lifted this program to another level. You know, by their junior year, they understood that with this program here at Bucknell, it's just as important, if not more important, what they do, you know, within the Bucknell community compared to what we require them to do here in the athletic arena. And that's the culture right there. That's something they pass down to the other guys. That's something they talk about to any type of prospect that's coming here and visiting. They understand what these young men, when they come in now, they understand what the expectation is. They know what's expected of them socially, academically, and athletically, and it's because of the guys on the team. Those are the guys that they spend the most time with. Those are the guys that ultimately define the culture of the program, right? But it's trying to recruit those guys and stay on top of it, where we all have that like-minded approach. Not that we're going to do everything right. We're still going to make some mistakes. We're still going to screw up. But just controlling, you know, the severity of any type of mistake or miscalculation that we make, and make it a teachable moment, and then you don't make the same mistake twice. And I think that's something that our young men understand. That's something our young men do. And it's just having that like-minded approach from our benefactor, through the administration, myself, my staff, and filters into the program and the guys that make up the roster.
Dan, absolute pleasure. Best of luck. Look forward to talking to you again.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Dan Wurzberger, head wrestling. Yep, and go Bison. And Dan Wurzberger, head wrestling coach at Bucknell. By the way, one slice of Penn State wrestling news. The number one recruit in the country, Mark Hall, is in. He's decided to commit to Penn State. We will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Come on home to convenience. Come on over with style. Come on home to Kohl's.
Come on home to Kohl's Hardware for all of your Christmas decorating needs.
Make your season sparkle with everything you need to create your own winter wonderland. Kohl's has a large assortment of brightly colored and energy-saving LED Christmas light sets.
Plus, Kohl's has all the things you'll need to hook up your Christmas lighting, like extension cords, timers, remote controls, and power strips.
For one-stop shopping, Kohl's makes it easy to decorate your home to be merry and bright.
Kohl's Hardware gift cards make the perfect present. Purchase a Kohl's Hardware $25 gift card and receive a $5 Kohl's reward card for yourself.
Check out the sale prices in our new circular at kohlshardware.com and sign up for exclusive online offers year-round.
Come on home to Kohl's.
Kohl's Hardware.
Come on home to Kohl's.
We're right around the corner, right here in your hometown. Come on home to Kohl's, your home for Christmas lighting.
Come on home to Kohl's.
Kohl's Hardware.
Come on home to Kohl's. Come on home to Kohl's.
We've all done it. Seen something online, bought it, and when it arrives, it's not at all what you were expecting. If you are looking for quality furnishings, don't take that chance. Instead, visit the place that's been the destination for home furnishings in Central PA for 100 years. Shamox Furniture in Kaltmad. They've been in business for so long because, for one, their fine selection of big names like Broyhill, Flex Steel, Best Home Furnishings, Lane, and Serta can't be beat. You never have to pay for delivery, setup, or removal of your old furniture either. They have great one-year, no-interest financing available and much better service than online retailers. And their 100 years, 100 prizes giveaway is still in full swing. Just stop in to register. No purchase necessary. Or like them on Facebook and check out the daily winners. It's their way of thanking you for 100 great years. Forget about those online deals. Shimox is here to save you money. Shimox Furniture in Kaltmad, celebrating 100 years of happiness by providing quality brands, terrific prices, and great service.
I'll bear that cross with honor, because freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American.
Veterans Day, we salute veterans everywhere. And thank you for your incredible service to this country. It is just great what you've done. We have the freedom to do whatever we do because of you. Our play-by-play call of the day is coming up next, and then we'll have our bozo of the day. The bozo today comes from the officiating ranks. All right. That's what we have coming up. Kevin's driving another great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week.
Yeah, this week we've been driving around and talking about the Ford Fusion, the 2016 Ford Fusion. Right now can be yours for as low as $149 a month plus tax, tags, and fees with a competitive lease and $2,100 due at signing. And you can get the tech package included that includes sync with My Ford Touch, the rear sensors, USB, 10 speakers, dual zone climate control system. And if you put $2,100 down with tax tags and everything, you get it for $206.57. And if you don't have the money down, that's okay. It's $267.99 a month. That's a 36-month lease on the Ford Fusion. It feels like a bigger, more luxury style, almost a Taurus, but it's actually not that, quite as big as the Taurus. But yet you get the gas mileage of the smaller Focus style. So it's kind of the best of both worlds, with gas mileage averaging right around the upper 20s, maybe even 30 on the highway or more, depending on how you drive. Find out more about the Ford Fusion and all the great standard accessories, including a backup camera, at Sunbury Motors Ford, North 4th Street, Sunbury, Seymour, and this particular Ford Fusion, available on my Facebook page and at Kevin Herr on Twitter.
Okay. Great. All right. And don't forget that Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Next half hour, Chad Markoulis is going to join us from Black Shoe Diaries. He covers basketball, and we'll talk about Penn State's recruiting class. They did sign Joe Hampton today out of Oak Hill. After having no Oak Hill Academy players in the history of the program, they now have Josh Reeves on the current team and Joe Hampton in the fold starting next year. Three players from Roman Catholic, Tony Carr, Lamar Stevens, and Nazir Bostic. They still have one available, by the way, and the door is not shut to getting it now or in April. We'll see. See how it plays out. But we know on this day they have four. It is the highest-ranked recruiting class they've had. Chad will talk about that in the next half hour.
looking forward to that very much. They're going to do a recruiting event here tonight as well, which I'm looking forward to. I'll be doing this tonight with Patrick Chambers, and it'll include video highlights, obviously, but also Skype conversations with those in the room that get a chance to meet the young men. You know, Joe Hampton, for example, you know what his stated one of his stated goals happens to be? The number one thing he mentioned was maintaining a 3.0 overall grade point average. He's thinking the right way.
It's a young man that knows exactly what he wants and knows exactly what he needs to do.
But in the he has great skill. We'll see how things play out. But most guys, you don't often hear that. That means, Penn State's looking for a certain kind of individual, and which is fine. You're trying to get somebody that fits your program. That fits. That's great.